This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube page, 94WIP. Check it out there. A ton of great video content. And, of course, a lot going on right now in Philadelphia sports. Sixers down 0-2 and coming back home for a Game 3 tomorrow night. Philly's finally lost the game for the first time in a long time last night. Tough night. But tomorrow night, the NFL draft, the Eagles hold pick number 22. But there's a ton of rumors right now about them potentially moving up for certain players, maybe an offensive lineman, maybe a corner, or maybe a surprise position and player. Very excited for the draft. I'll be on tomorrow night on WIP at 6 for the beginning of our draft show. All right, so I think last year, we started WIP Daily right around this time last year. I think one of my first episodes of the podcast, and I appreciate everyone that's been following along and love doing it, was my Eagles big board. Do it every year. Used to do it just on the evening show and now brought to the podcast. We'll do it on the midday show. But my Eagles big board, my 10 favorite players for the Eagles to potentially draft this year. And so there's obviously different ways to look at this. These are not all players I would simply take with the 22nd pick. I recognize some of these guys would be trade-up scenarios. And if the Eagles love them, they're going to have to go up and get them. Some of these guys would probably fit right around pick number 22. And then I will specify the final two guys on my list are more of trade-down scenarios. If the Eagles can't get up and they get to 22, and let's say the first eight guys on the board, my board, are gone, I would trade back. And I would attempt to draft one of the two kids I have at my list somewhere down. And, you know, I think one of those probably a late first-round guy. One of them might be an early second-round guy. It depends on how comfortable the Eagles are moving back, how far they move back, the value, knowing the board, knowing where these guys might land. So that's how I kind of broke this down. But let's get into it. My 10 guys, my 10 favorite players, and I want one of these guys to end up a Philadelphia Eagle, maybe multiple, if one could be in somewhere in the middle of the second round. But my 10 favorite players for Eagles to draft coming up this weekend. All right, number one, I did a whole episode on this guy recently. It's Cooper DeJean, the defensive back out of Iowa. I know there's some question, is he a corner? Is he a safety? I don't care. The guy is a football player. The guy is a playmaker. I think the guy could be a star in the NFL. Probably at safety. That's what my eyes tell me. That'll probably be a safety. But I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a lot of nickel. I wouldn't be surprised if team has injury and they put him outside for three or four games and he succeeds there. He's the kind of player that has succeeded at everything. If he had stayed at Iowa, they were talking about putting him on the offense next year. That is how talented this guy is. That's how good he's been. That's how dynamic he's been for in college football. He takes the football away. He has great ball skills when it's in the air, and he returns it back for scores. You know, I think he's the perfect defensive back for the modern NFL, where it's almost an amoeba defense. Everyone's, you know, kind of playing in a different position. You have six defensive backs out there. I don't know what you consider him, but I would put him on the field for 95% of the snaps. Maybe 65% of those 90 or 60 of those 90 snaps, if it's a 90-snap game or whatever, are going to be at safety. And then maybe 20, they're going to be at nickel. And then maybe 10 are going to be outside on a certain possession against a certain player. Now, I think about a guy like Christian McCaffrey, what the 49ers do with him? And I say, that's your assignment, Cooper DeJean. You know, maybe he's a little big and strong for my corner to handle. Maybe he's too fast, obviously too fast for my linebacker to handle. Maybe he's too shifty for my safety to handle. Cooper, you get him. When he goes outside and you know, Purdy checks him outside and he goes in motion, you follow him. You go get him. That's what I would do with Cooper DeJean. He's my number one player. He's the guy I most want for the Eagles to take on Thursday night. Number two, another guy that we had a podcast on recently, if you want to go back and check it out in the feed, Laiatu Latu. I am enamored with this guy. Edge rusher, UCLA. You know, there are red flags with, you know, the spinal injury, the neck injury. He wouldn't be cleared by the doctors that watched him. But he went to UCLA and for 2 years was one of the most productive edge players in all of college football. All this guy does is get to the quarterback. The comps to TJ Watt blow me away, because if I just showed you this guy's production, I showed you his size, I showed you his moves, I showed you what people are saying about him comp-wise, comparing him to TJ Watt, you would say, Joe, this is a top five pick in the NFL draft. And no question. Top five, top six, if it's a run on quarterbacks, he'll go in the top 10 without question. And every mock I see is more like 12 to 20, 12 to 22, 12 to 25, because of the question marks on Latu's health. And I understand that. You don't want to take a player very high and then risk it that, you know, he can't play in a couple of years. I understand that. But I'm looking for good football players here. And this is a team that just lost Hassan Reddick. I have question marks about Nolan Smith. You have Brandon Graham a year away from retirement. And you have Bryce Huff here, who's only shown to be a part-time player so far in his NFL career. And I look at Latu and I said, this guy could be their best edge defender maybe by October. If Laiatu Latu is on the board at 22, I'm not running to the podium. I'm sprinting to the podium. He's my number two player. It's been 2 years of health and 2 years of big production. I got to trust that. I have to trust that the surgery and the recovery has worked, because he hasn't been injured and he's produced at a ridiculous level. Laiatu Latu, my number two player on my big board. Let's go to number three here as we start adding in some players that we haven't talked that much about on the podcast in recent weeks. Quinyon Mitchell, corner Toledo. The latest rumors out there, Tony Pauline, and he's a guy that's very plugged in with the Philadelphia Eagles, or plugged in around the Eagles, and he's kind of called things, including the draft pick of Cam Jurgens a couple years ago. He's been on certain things that the Eagles have done in recent years and really been plugged in. He said the latest smoke is they're trying to trade to 12 with the Broncos to draft Quinyon Mitchell, corner out of Toledo. He's number three on my board. I have him as the number one corner. Again, I look at DeJean differently. He's more of a just defensive back. I don't plug him into just a corner. If it's pure corner, then Mitchell's the best outside corner, without question in my mind, in this draft. I love him. Read some of the stories about him earlier this morning. What's kind of cool is, you know, in a world where players jump to the next good opportunity every 5 seconds, Quinyon Mitchell stayed loyal to Toledo because they stayed loyal to him. Came out of college, barely had an offer, basically kind of begged Toledo to take him. They eventually, you know, said okay, but then he had academic issues and they could have moved on. You know, they could have reneged the scholarship and said, we need this for somebody else. And they stuck with him while he got his grades up. And he almost had a redshirt academic year while he got his grades up. And then he started to play well when he got on the field. And the big schools started to say, hey, get out of Toledo and come transfer and play here. And he remained loyal to them. There's something really cool about that that I like. He's a little bigger up top physically than I think most corners. You see, he's not afraid to hit, not afraid to tackle. He has a really interesting skill set. And what I like about him is an attitude on the field. Some of the highlights I saw, he is not just knocking passes away, he's smacking passes away down the field. Like no chance I'm even going to let you get your hands on. I'm going to hit like a volleyball away from you. The guy plays with an edge and had a great offseason here. 4-3, 340, showed out at the Senior Bowl. And the Eagles have a little advantage and edge in terms of getting to know the real person here, because Nick Sirianni's former college roommate, is the head coach of Toledo. So they got a lot of intel on this kid. If we're hearing they're interested in moving up, it tells me they're hearing good things about him as a person. I think it checks out with my theory that, hey, he's a loyal kid. He stayed at Toledo. I like him a lot. Number one corner. He's third on my board. So Cooper DeJean 1, Laiatu Latu 2, Quinyon Mitchell number 3. Number 4 is Brock Bowers. I understand. I get it. I get the positional value. I get the Eagles have a tight end. I get the need. They need defense. Offensive line long-term is a bigger need. But, man, I just love Brock Bowers as a player. He reminds me of George Kittle. I will never get over a couple years ago for a brief period. He was, you know, one of the names higher up in the Heisman Trophy odds to bet on. You don't see that for a tight end. The guy stood out at Georgia, where every player basically goes in the first and second round. A dominant, dominant football players. And he stood out among the crowd at Georgia. I think he's going to be a dynamic player. I think he could be a future all-pro. And that's saying a lot because there's a lot of good young tight ends running around the NFL right now. But this guy's incredible. I did see this morning Dan Graziano in the kind of latest NFL draft buzz did allude to the idea that people around the NFL think the Eagles might want to trade up for a wide receiver, or because of their affinity for Georgia players, maybe, just maybe, they would try to do something where they trade up for Brock Bowers. I think that would be, I mean, a major surprise to a lot of people. But if we're just looking for the best player and on a big board, like your favorite players, yeah, I mean, like, as much as I want defense, Brock Bowers is awesome. Plus, we're at that age where Dallas Goedert is. I mean, when Zach Ertz was this age, they drafted Goddard. When Celek was in this age, they drafted Ertz. I mean, this is what the Eagles do. So as much as maybe they're thinking contingency plan for Lane Johnson down the line, you can make the case for contingency plan for Dallas Goedert down the line. In fact, I expect the Eagles to draft their future tight end in this draft. Could be in the second round, one of those two picks. You know, could be a little later. But there's some good tight ends in this draft. You know, Jadeveon Sanders out of Texas, Sinnott, Cade Stover. I mean, there's some players that could be long-range tight ends, but no one like Brock Bowers. He's number four on my list. Number five, my first offensive lineman. If they do go offensive line, my favorite guy is J.C. Latham, offensive tackle, Alabama. Freak athlete, 4.85 40, 11-inch hands, over 35-inch arms. He strikes me as a perfect Lane Johnson replacement. But unlike a guy I have a little later on this list, He's played all over. You know, Alabama kind of cross-trains their offensive linemen. He can play guard, and I think that is significant for the Eagles in year one. You know, because I don't mind the idea of taking a tackle that could eventually replace Lane and having it kind of in the pipeline like they did with a Landon Dickerson a few years ago. And now look at what he became. And that was the original idea to replace Jason Kelce. Then it became Cam Jurgens. But the cool part with those guys, especially Dickerson, is they were able to play another position at a high level. Dickerson played at a super high level, stayed at guard, got paid, and Jurgens played a serviceable right guard. So it allowed them to keep the pipeline going, have their future center, which everyone was going to be locked in, ready to roll when Kelce was done, but also continue with good play on the offensive line in the meantime. And Latham, I believe, can provide that for the Eagles. He could do a good job at right guard as a rookie. I believe he'd beat out Tyler Steen and be a starter from basically day one on the offensive line. And then down the line, he's the eventual replacement for Lane Johnson. It's the Kelce plan. Latham is my favorite one for the Philadelphia Eagles. My number six player on my Eagles big board for the 2024 NFL draft is Terrion Arnold, corner out of Alabama. I don't love him as much as Quinyon Mitchell. He is more, to me, a solid, safe pick. I think Mitchell's got the more upside to be a dynamic corner. You know, it's kind of interesting. Terrion Arnold, just reading some stories about him as a personality, very kind of low-key, jovial, laid-back, but a hard worker. And, you know, a guy like Saban liked and pushed hard. He kind of reminds me of a young Darius Slay, size-wise, play-wise, technique-wise. But teammates say he's kind of fun and goofy, doesn't take too seriously. And I could see him developing with that personality of swagger slash ability to shake off a bad player. I think he'll develop into a Darius Slay type of player. And they're going to need a replacement for Slay as the number one corner eventually. I mean, this guy, Arnold, could be their number two corner this year, eventually be the number one corner opposite Slay, you know, when Slay's done, or number two opposite Slay, and then eventually take over Slay's role as the number one corner. I like Terrion Arnold. Don't like him as much as Mitchell, but I like him. He is number, what are we at? Seven on my board. DeJean, one. Leatu, Latu, two. Mitchell, three. Brock Bowers, four. Latham, five. Terrion Arnold, six. All right, let's get to number seven here. And I'm going to go with Chop Robinson, edge rusher out of Penn State. Every time I watch Chop Robinson, I'm amazed at his get-off and how quickly he gets off the football and how quickly he gets his first step past the offensive tackle. It's remarkable. And I, you know, part of me thought, because I'm going to give you a comp, part of me thought that I was just seeing things because of the uniform he's in. You know, he's a Maryland, originally at Maryland, And eventually, obviously, we know, transferred to Penn State and became a star there. But I was watching the Penn State highlights specifically and just thinking about watching at Penn State this past year. Like, I see a little Micah Parsons with the size, with the strength, with the get off. And I kept saying to myself, like, that's not real. You're seeing that because you want to see that, because that was Micah Parsons. And the more I watched, I'm like, no, this get off is real. And then I went to NFL.com, and their comp is Micah Parsons. Let me give you a comp off the cuff. When you watched Miles Sanders in his final year at Penn State, if you squinted, you saw some Saquon Barkley. He's not as talented as Saquon Barkley. But he's had a nice career, and he had a good career with the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously, last year was a disaster for him in Carolina. He's not as good as Barkley, but he's a good running back, and he had a nice start to his career and a good time with the Eagles. I don't believe that Chop Robinson will be as good as Micah Parsons, but could he be the Miles Sanders to Saquon Barkley, the way, you know, in the effect of a pass rusher, could he be that to what Micah Parsons in the NFL? I think he can. I think this guy could get 10-plus sacks in the NFL as a pass rusher. His get-off is outrageous. It's not just good. It is outrageous. That's how quickly he gets off the football and gets around the tackle. I've seen it's not often you see guys that can do that, and he does it at an extremely high level. I like Chop Robinson, and they also rushed him once in a while from the inside, to where it wasn't only, you know, him coming off the edge. I mean, there's something to it, to where this kid has an ability to get off the edge, but then also in a significant way, come around and from the middle and go through centers. I thought that was highly, highly impressive. So Chop Robinson makes himself and gets himself a spot on my big board. All right, coming up next, we got number 8, Amarius Mims. He is the offensive tackle from Georgia. Now, here's what's fascinating about him. He only started eight games. And you wonder, like, is that enough to make you really believe in this player and what he can do? Well, he didn't allow a sack in 400 snaps, okay? His arms are gigantic. He's 6'8". The way I frame Amarius Mims is, this is Jordan Mailata, but in the first round. You're getting a lump of clay that did do something in college football. It's not like rugby, but he did very little in college football, had some injury issues. But you could see Jeff Stoutland taking this kid and molding him into not just Lane Johnson's replacement, but maybe an all-pro kind of tackle. That's what kind of athleticism he has. When he runs, it's unbelievable. I mean, it reminds you of Mailata. Just a huge dude that can move. A Jason Peters, a Mailata, there's work to do. You got to project and hope he stays healthy. Now, the one knock on him within this Eagles team and where they are right now and why I don't have him higher is just because with him, it's probably a redshirt year. Unlike J.C. Latham, who's a lot more polished and more versatile from Alabama, Mims probably has to just play tackle and probably, I mean, unless there's a major injury, right? He's got to sit out a year. And, you know, eventually could they cross-train him and maybe a year from now he plays guard? Maybe. But it does feel like a luxury kind of pick. It does feel like, what are they doing in a year if they don't, you know, if he can't play guard? There's some complications to it. But if you're just looking for raw athleticism, potential for dominance, a future pick, a pick that is for the organization, not for the 2024 Eagles, that's Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle from Georgia. All right, I got two left. So number 9 and number 10 on my big board. And these would both be trade down scenarios. I would not take these guys at 22. One, because I think it doesn't make any sense. I mean, from one perspective, I don't think it makes the sense on just value. I think you could take it, drop them down or drop down a little bit. And I don't think the position is where the Eagles should go in the first round anyway. But this kid, I do like a whole lot. And then the last one is a trade out that maybe is a trade out of the entire first round or late in the first round. So number 9 on my list, the first of these two players we're discussing right now. I'm going to go with Xavier Worthy, the corner. Xavier Worthy, the wide receiver out of Texas. Guys, I watch it and I see DeSean Jackson. I see DeSean Jackson 2.0. His speed is off the charts. Not good speed. It is great speed. It's get away from everybody on the field speed. He tracks the ball down the field. I saw one pass from Quinn Ewers down the field. I think it was against Alabama. He tracked it like DeSean Jackson, a burner, an absolute burner. He could change this offense. Quez Watkins, but actually good. He's number 9. That would be a trade down. Number 10, I had to put a linebacker on the list. It's the Eagles. They don't have any linebackers you feel good about. N'Kobe Dean's always hurt. And Devin White got worse and worse with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I can't trust them. I'm going to put Edgerrin Cooper here, Texas A&M. He reminds me of a little bit of a Devin Lloyd. He reminds me a little bit of a young Shaq Leonard when he was an all-pro kind of player, not the player he was with the Eagles last year. Big, tall, over 250, so he's not tiny. Good in coverage, can run, can hit. I like him. If the Eagles didn't like where they were at 22, they couldn't get up for their guys, and they're in a weird spot where they're like, man, we don't have any first-rounders left on our board. What are we doing here at 22? I would trade out. I would trade down. I would see if someone wants to come in there and take the pick from the Eagles. And if they trade down to 29, 30, I wouldn't mind taking this kid right there. I really, really, really like Edgerrin Cooper. I think he'll be a star linebacker in the National Football League, maybe a perennial Pro Bowler, and someone I think they could win with and win with early with Vic Fangio, who's been very good with linebackers. So I put Edgerrin Cooper at number 10 on my big board. I think there's something real there. He could be the best Eagles linebacker they've had for a very long time. So here it is, the final big board for the 2024 draft. Cooper DeJean, defensive back, Iowa. He's number 1. Number 2, Laiatu Latu, edge rush, UCLA. Number 3, Quinyon Mitchell, corner, Toledo. Number 4, Brock Bowers, tight end, Georgia. Number 5, J.C. Latham, offensive line, Alabama. Number 6, Terrion Arnold, cornerback, Alabama. Number 7, Chop Robinson, edge rusher, Penn State. Number 8, Amaris Mims, the Georgia tackle. Number 9 and 10, both after trade downs, Xavier Worthy, wide receiver, Texas. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker, Texas A&M. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following WIP Daily. Enjoy the draft.